Let us pray. O God of our palm passion faith, be with us as we remember Jesus on his final journey. Accompany us as we seek out what he wanted us to absorb into our own lives, as we remember his struggle towards his end. Amen. Now, for many of us, this is a bit of a strange time in the seasons of the Christian year. With Palm Passion Sunday marking the beginning of Holy Week, we start, of course, as you well know now, of course, with Jesus entering Jerusalem as though he was royalty, the Messiah. But by the time that the week draws to a close, he's been betrayed, arrested, beaten, nailed to a cross, stabbed in the side, and had his legs broken as an act of mercy. And then he finally dies from the sheer agony of crucifixion, and it's a horrible, horrible, horrible way to die. So that does make it quite a week. And we know that eventually there is a resurrection, but in the meanwhile, we do remember. We remember that Jerusalem can be a dangerous city. And it certainly was for Jesus well over 2,000 years ago. And although Jesus knew it was dangerous to go into the city because they were after him, he went anyway. And even though he was facing death, and most of us would not be thinking of anything but survival, he still made sure that he taught us vital life lessons that week. I'm not sure the rest of us would be thinking that way. Certainly I probably wouldn't. By Thursday of that final week, his disciples were fighting at the Last Supper table over who was the greatest. And instead of, as I might have been, bonking them over the head with a rolled up piece of pita bread, Jesus assures them that they will each have an important place in the kingdom. It doesn't matter who's the greatest. And later, as our passion reading advises us, he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane to weep and pray because he was about to die. And yet what do his disciples do? They start nodding off and snoring away. But what does Jesus do? He tells them to take courage. After his arrest, when he's mocked by antagonistic crowds, he doesn't spit back at them. He doesn't yell, "Be gone," or worse. No, he says nothing. He just keeps quiet to himself. And after he is nailed to the cross, even in the midst of his own terrible suffering, he offers comforting words to the thief beside him. And he says that we are to be like him. So how on earth can we do that? How can we do that, thinking back on what he went through when he was saying that? And I know a lot of us say, and I'm certainly guilty of it, sure, he can be wonderful because, after all, he was God or the Son of God. Not a human being like the rest of us. But, you know, that's not true Christian theology. Because Jesus, we need to think of him as human during his time on earth. And I always think that we make a great excuse out of that one. We can't be fully Christian because, hey, we're not God. Well, guess what? When he was on earth, he was not either. So how can we do, as he asks, how can we be like Jesus? Well, if you were a particular person named Patricia, who was in my home congregation in South Vancouver, here's an instance when you could be like Jesus, as she was. She was a mother with four boys and a girl. The oldest was 12 years old, and Pat was dying of lymphoma. But her 12-year-old, the oldest, had a rebellious attitude that strained their relationship. He shrugged off all her affection. He kept her at a distance. Part of his problem was, of course, trying to cope with the idea that his mother was dying, and he was only 12. But she knew that after she was gone, and her time was coming soon, that he would be burdened with a terrible guilt for rejecting her. So the last time that he came to her room in the cancer clinic before she died, she took that burden from him for his future. As he was standing there, purposely staying out of her reach, she looked at him straight in the eye and said, "I want you to know something. I know that you love me," she said. "You do love me. And I want you to remember that I know that," said Pat. And that is how we can be like Jesus. You see, even though she longed for him to come to her side, she took the burden of guilt away from him anyway. Pat was like Jesus in that moment. And another way to be like Jesus happened after the Balkan War, back in the 90s. A Christian relief organization went to the Balkans to help people of a small town in Croatia to rebuild. The Christian group was working to help them because their town had been devastated. And even though Croatia was a Catholic country, some of its people had been converted to Islam hundreds of years earlier when the Ottoman Empire conquered that part of Europe. So in this town, the mayor happened to be Muslim. And one day, as that same mayor was looking at the drawings over the shoulder of the builder, he was very, very surprised to notice that these Christians were planning to reconstruct the town's Muslim mosque. When he asked why they, as Christians, were doing that, the worker replied that that is because of the story that Jesus had told of the Good Samaritan, because the Samaritan man had helped that poor beaten victim lying on the side of the road, helped him even though they were of rival religions. And that is how we can be like Jesus, by reaching out to others even if their ways are not our ways. So in this journey of Holy Week, let us remember that Jesus showed us how we can have a meaningful life through small or large ways, and this meaningful life, as we know, is the door to eternal life. Let us pray. In prayer, loving God, we give you thanks for your acceptance of our frailties, and for Jesus' goodness and love as our example for living. Amen.